So it's another week. This is Andrew Wood, joined as always by pastor and friend Jason Hayes, and we're right smack dab in between Sundays, and we call the show Between Sundays.
For that reason.
How are you, my friend?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. I must applaud your beard.
Well, it's looking extra good today. Thank you.
When we walked in, one of our fine folks in the studio mentioned that you would be ideal for some type of Civil War reenactment
at this point.
And then you said that was maybe...
Yeah, little did they know.
That would be like a great fulfillment of one of your biggest dreams.
And that's what I said. Put me on a horse with a musket, some type of gun. I don't even have to have lines in the movie. that would make everything for me. That would really be awesome.
Yeah. All right. So, well, you're well on your way with that.
Yeah. So I'm,
what else is going on?
Not a lot. I will say that we both have button ups on today. That's something.
Yes. I'm wearing a short sleeved button up shirt today. And that may be a no-no. I don't know.
It's not.
I wear a lot of
short sleeve button ups.
Really?
Yes, I do.
Man,
I almost wore one today.
Now that I think about it, I am so super hip.
Yeah, we are. I think when people listen to this, the first thing they think about is, wow, those guys are super hip.
In their brain, they're thinking a lot more hip imagery than what we really are. But
we're going to let them those, go. I've never listened to more relevant young hip guys.
And by young, in my case, you mean 41 years of age.
Than these guys. I mean, they are just so, so young.
Wow.
And hip.
Wow. So it's been a wild week in news. It's been all kinds of stuff going on.
A lot of, you know, Mother's Day was Sunday.
Yep.
And so.
You had a good Mother's Day?
Yes, it was good. And.
Special activity for?
Well, I got Aaron some presents.
Okay.
So that was good.
Yep.
And then after church, we went out to lunch.
Yep.
And then just kind of hung out. Yeah.
I feel like my wife was very, I did get her, a couple little presents, and then I feel like I didn't do a lot, but I feel like she was very happy because she bought some furniture.
Oh, okay.
And it was kind of like she just decided this was going to be her Mother's Day present. We renovated the downstairs of our home several months ago, and we had gotten kind of an initial run of furniture, but there were some things we wanted to add, kind of final touches. And so she just did it. And I was like, Is this the best Mother's Day gift I've ever given her? Maybe. I think so. She also did order pizza for us after church on Sunday.
That's good.
So that's probably a pretty big fail, I would imagine.
Well, Friday night, Aaron came in and looked at me and said, thank you so much for the hour and a half massage that you purchased for me that I'm getting tomorrow. And I looked at her and thought, I haven't purchased you an hour and a half massage.
Yes, you had.
And so apparently I had.
Yes,
and
you
so,
had.
So Saturday morning she went to get a massage. I took the kids to REI and DW Designs and McKay's Books. So
special shout out to Dan and Dawn.
Yeah,
amazing DW Designs. If you've not checked them out in Knoxville,
I should just have a line of credit with them. That is what I should have.
All right, so that's personally. Then there's been just all kinds of stuff politically.
Yeah, just
there's
a lot
stuff
of
stuff even within Southern Baptist life.
Yeah, the deep state of the Southern Baptist. It's just a lot of social media has just really wrecked a lot of things.
It really
is. It was yesterday. There's just a lot of social media posts currently about heartbeat bills and abortion legislation that gets my blood pressure pumping. And then the deep state stuff within the Southern Baptist culture.
If you don't know, even related to the deep state, Jerry Falwell Jr. tweeted something out, referenced to Russell Moore, who's a guy that we greatly respect.
Yeah.
And he's with the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission that we often cite, even as we talk about different topics. And Jerry Falwell Jr., not surprisingly, in my opinion, shared a few things that were unnecessary
and
unhelpful.
Yeah, it's just social media, it's so easy to post something. And when you're, like if I post, I don't have a ton of followers. When I post something, if I come back and go, ugh, probably shouldn't have done that, I can quickly take it down.
Yeah.
No one has screenshotted that.
Correct.
But when you're at that level, if you second guess yourself, somebody's already taken that.
So I am screenshotting everything you put out there.
I did have a dream last night that
not because that I was just for fun.
Yeah, I had a dream last night that for some job interview, and the lady said, "Would you consider your social media posts? We haven't looked yet, but would you consider them apolitical or political? We're going to look at them." And I thought, I'm not getting this job. But it was one of those things in my dream. I was like, oh no, they're not apolitical. They are definitely not apolitical.
Oh,
and so,
man.
So yeah, so a lot of things going on in the news. I did see one thing that made me love the internet was somebody has gone through, every presidential candidate currently, and they've added a mustache to them. And they did a really good job. It looks like they're
women
real.
As well?
No, just what they did with the women was they added bangs.
Okay.
And so it is just a bunch of pictures of the current candidates with mustaches.
And it helps you.
And bangs.
Helps you
and it is so, so good.
Really?
And some of them really need to grow one. It looks really good. They should go with it.
All right. So today we're going to step into some dangerous waters of sorts, in the sense of there is very much a good possibility that we step on a few toes today. There is very much a possibility that we talk about some things that might make a few of us a little bit uncomfortable. But we're going to talk about Game of Thrones today.
Yeah, well, as many people know,
just Game of Thrones.
As many people know, Jason and I get together once a week and watch the game. We've been watching the Game of Thrones for years now.
Okay.
No, I'm kidding.
Again, as a reminder, sarcasm is our love language.
I've never watched one episode.
We have not watched it. Right.
But I'm guessing that people listening, there probably are some people listening that have watched Game of Thrones.
And so here's the deal. We often talk about what's coming across the cultural landscape. You cannot jump on social media.
No,
you can't read an article online without something being mentioned about the final season of Game of Thrones, and then everyone giving their feedback and their opinions and reviews, you know, every week after a new episode has aired. And what it's causing us to do is just today to consider what are certain things that we've normalized in terms of our entertainment? You know, when it comes to the things that we're watching, when it comes to those things, is there a possibility that we have been desensitized to a degree that it has almost become common that we're subjecting ourselves to certain things that very well may or may not be edifying for our soul?
Well, I remember growing up, there was local station, what I would call those local stations, the big networks, ABC, NBC, CBS, started to kind of get a little bit more graphic. You're watching and going, wow, this isn't what it used to be. One of the big ones was NYPD Blue. You remember that show?
Sure.
And I think they showed in primetime, they showed someone's hind end, bare hind end on the show, and I was really young, and I remember thinking, I remember my parents talking about, like, wow, this is kind of the direction we're going. And now, even on primetime, you're hearing language that you used to not hear.
Yep.
You're seeing things you used to not see. And so it's just a different time and place, for
there,
sure.
There was a discussion that happened many, many years ago. Whenever Titanic came out, if you remember when Titanic came out, you were a wee.
Don't tell me how it
you,
is.
You were a wee little lad when Titanic came out. I went
to the theaters.
I remember them saying that, you know, as monumental as Titanic was as far as filmmaking and how many people came out and showed up at theaters to watch it, one of the big deals was that there was a certain degree of nudity that was allowed in a certain movie rating that had never been done before. It kind of broke a barrier. Yeah. And again, we just have kind of seen this desensitization of our culture over time. And candidly, I understand that some of you may be sitting here saying, well, wait a minute. So you're going to go all in on Game of Thrones. We're not going to go all in on Game of Thrones. We're going to go in just on entertainment as a whole and really considering it. And you say, well, you've not even watched it. And that is true. But I can at least do a little bit of research. And here's something that we know. Game of Thrones has featured 82 nude scenes out of 67 episodes that have aired
so
far. That
seems like a lot.
Yeah. Women were naked 61 times while men were naked just 21 times, including 7 instances of full frontal male nudity. Yeah.
Wow.
And yet, this is one of these things that everyone seems to be all in on. You know, it's like, hey, well, are you watching this? Of course I'm watching this. And everyone's talking about it. And I'm not implying that everyone's watching it just so,
right,
you know, they can, you know, be aroused or whatever that may be. That rather, somehow it's almost just become something that we're numb to. And we have to really begin to consider that. We've seen other things of this. The 50 mm-hmm. Shades of Grey yep. was the huge, big, you know, phenomena. Everyone wanted to go yep. see 50 Shades of Grey. And then it was, and before that, it was Magic Mike. Yep. And it was anything else that has kind of come across the cultural landscape that it just seems everyone, for whatever reason, has said, of course. And in many cases, the church is saying, of course. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we watch it. And yet, why are we not asking some questions about that? Now, you made a really good point, though. It's not just about sexuality. We also have to consider the same thing, and you and I are guilty of this.
I'm guilty of any good war movie, the John Wick series. Yeah. I mean, where I think they've done a count. I mean, thousands of people are murdered in the John Wick movies.
Right. Yeah, Carrie and I's favorite television show is The Blacklist.
Yeah.
And Raymond Reddington, is this character, and he is a fairly violent dude. He's got this other side of him that's unique and quirky, but it's not without some violence too.
And so
you have to consider this.
We have to look and say, okay, well, is nudity the issue, or is violence an issue? And then also, I think Game of Thrones probably is geared more toward the male audience, I believe. And then you have 50 Shades and Magic Mike that may be geared a little more toward a female audience or somewhere in between. And so we as Christians have to see, we're not saying be a bunch of fuddy-dud stuck in the mud that you just can't watch or enjoy films and those type things. But we do need to have a question and ask ourselves before we give money, before we partake in that. What is that going to look like? What is that going
to
do for my heart?
Celebrate it to a certain degree. I mean, really, truly celebrate it as a society. And I agree. I think, here momentarily when we come back from the break, we're going to really consider what it would mean for us just to stop and to pause and to reset a little bit. How might we do that? And if we did that, maybe what direction it might point us towards.
Yeah, we'll be back.
Give me Jesus.
So Jason, would you argue that because of the advances we've had in technology since we were children, really in the last 10 years, I heard somebody talking yesterday that they said something happened in the early 2000s and they said, that was almost 20 years ago, and it hit me like I haven't really thought, but yeah, that was almost like we're in 2019.
Right.
So do you think because of that and because of the graphics and the things that a Game of Thrones show looks so amazing on screen, where in years past, if you'd have tried to have a flying dragon, it'd have been like, well, that clearly is not a flying dragon. Do you think that has kind of sucked people in? Have we got to a place where we feel like as Christians, well, I can compartmentalize this. All the killing, all the blood, all the nudity, not going to affect me.
Right.
I just like the story.
Right. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
I would say I do think that there is this element of escapism that is probably connected to that. You know, we've talked in the past about video games and some of our entertainment choices that we are just drawn towards escapism, meaning I can kind of check out. I can completely check out in the same way that some would maybe lean on a drug to kind of completely check out. Mm-hmm. to a lesser degree, and hopefully a less harmful degree,
right.
People will say, well, I'm just going to go watch a show. And it doesn't always have to be a bad show. I'm just going to go watch something that kind of takes me away. And then when you add in the kind of impressive nature and development of cinematography and how real it is, mm-hmm. and how impressive it is when, as you said, the flying dragons and the war scenes and, and all of this stuff, it does at times really put you in a different place that you, I wonder, have created a different set of standards as you might in your own, in real life. It almost feels like, well, this is compartmentalized over there. I would also say, I mean, again, we could talk about a number of different things that we're being subjected to through various entertainment choices. And so it is not just sexuality, but we would be amiss to minimize sexuality. And I wonder how much just the rise of pornography. Obviously, it is a multi-billion dollar industry. It is rampant. You look at data, statistics. I mean, the church is not exempt from this being an epidemic. And so I think that when people are watching those things, in most cases in some privacy or secrecy, that it has not only desensitized them to certain things, it has made the standard for what they watch publicly much lower as well.
Well, and I think too, we are in a place now where pornography is more mainstream.
Right.
And so I was just, I saw an article the other day that Pornhub is looking to buy Tumblr, which is the large blog social media platform. My cousin works for Tumblr, lives in New York City, and is the policy person for them. And I'm thinking there could be in the very near future, her employer
a real conflict
would not be Tumblr anymore, but could be a pornography industry.
Well, and even just in kind of a celebrity life.
Yeah.
I mean, you see all the time, you know, just in the same way that we used to see on People Magazine or something that's, well, here's the kind of these personalities that we're being introduced to. There are Hollywood A-list and things that sort of, it's interesting that you quite literally have porn stars that are now mixed into that. And of course, we've obviously seen scandals connected to our own president, or at least alleged scandals connected to our own president, you know, with porn stars and Tiger Woods and everything else. I mean, it's just continuing to be more and more normal. And so thus, again, I think when we have seen kind of those standards be minimized, then when it comes to our public viewing, then that also has diminished, and I think that's where we're at.
And then it also, we play into, we're always joking before we come on air about how relevant we are and all of these things. But I do think there's a tendency to desire to be relevant.
Yep.
And for the Christian, well, we don't want to look like old, you know, just people that aren't in tune to what's going on. And there's a Relevant magazine about Christianity, and there's all of this wanting to be, have a little bit of a toe in the world while we're also trying to live differently. Well, there is a difference. We claim to worship a Savior that lived, was fully man, fully God, that lived, died on a cross, and rose from the dead 3 days later. That is our claim.
Right.
The world is not going to just look at us and go, you know what, y'all have so much to offer to us.
Yeah.
Like, we do have a lot to offer to him, but the sinful, broken, fallen world is something we have to be careful about, trying to make our culture and our faith mesh with the world instead of trying to get the world to see that there's something more out there.
Well, and it's one of the things we talk about even as a church. You know, we need not, and we're pretty strong in our conviction on this, but we don't think we need the world to accompany. We don't need to butt the world up right next to Jesus, shoulder to shoulder, in order to make Jesus relevant. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't consider, you know, means of communicating and certain tools to do that. But the gospel is plenty glorious, and Jesus is fully God. We don't need to do anything to come alongside him in order to make him that. And yeah. So, again, speaking of such great degree of relevance, I remember not too long ago asking someone, what does hashtag FOMO mean? And I was like, I see this often, but it's fear of missing out. Mm-hmm. And I think there is a little bit of that people are like, well, everyone else is talking about it. And gosh, everyone else is enthralled by this. And so I need to jump in and to do this. And again, I'm not to imply that we haven't been guilty of at times of this. Now, like I said, we've not gone in on Game of Thrones and we don't have any intention of doing that. But, you know, we went and watched, Friday Night Lights. Yeah. Now we were like 10 years late, on it, but it was just like everyone talked about it. Everyone talked about it. And so eventually I kind of want to check it out. And we eventually decided, you know, we're going to have some discernment on, you know, do we need to zip through episodes and, and, you know, to what degree is this harmful and helpful? And so you have to consider that. But again, I think the point is maybe a reset would be of good help. And so where would you say we start with a reset? In other words, what are our standards that we need to actually be looking at? And I don't mean so much like, hey, you can watch this or can't watch that, but what is our plumb line as we consider this reset?
I think recognizing if there's parts of your life where you feel like you're desensitized. Have you kind of taken in so much of that when you see somebody around you, like in reality hurting, does that do anything?
Right.
I mean, we see now on online all the time, people are getting beat up, people are getting attacked, people are being shot, the videos are posted online. But what that means is somebody's there videoing that and doing nothing.
Correct.
And so you have to wonder what brings somebody to the point of seeing that in real life, in real time, right in front of them, and nothing inside of them says, I need to help this person.
To help, or even, and obviously we would hope someone would help, but even to run away.
Yeah, right.
like
or call 911.
Yeah, to do, I mean, that I'm so desensitized that I can sit there and watch this go down. I can watch a kid getting beat up on a school bus and it not impact me.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and I can watch the lady getting robbed and it cannot impact.
And it just feels like I'm watching a movie.
Correct.
Even though I'm right here in person. I noticed the other day I was at field day with my kids. I didn't take any pictures.
And there was a fight.
There was
not
a fight.
And
I filmed it and I posted it. And it's gone
viral.
World star, all that stuff.
The Smith class dominated.
Yeah. But I didn't take any pictures. And somebody asked me, do you have any pictures? And I was like, no. And because I'm trying to force myself into seeing it with my own eyes, not looking at my kids through a screen.
Right.
And that's hard.
Yeah.
It's very difficult because my wife wanted pictures. She wasn't there and I didn't take any.
I'll share a story about that when we come back.
Did you know that Ricky Skaggs' daughter? Did you know that?
I did not know that.
It is. I believe. Her last name's Skaggs. I'm making a big assumption that it's Ricky Skaggs'
daughter.
That
is a huge assumption.
Like I am 70% certain it's Ricky Skaggs' daughter.
Did you know that I am like 14 generations past Rutherford B. Hayes?
Really? I did not.
No, that's not. That's just, that's not. That's
but
not,
I'm pretty
that's
sure.
That's not true, but I mean,
but
we have the same
sure
last name.
That's
so
Ricky Skaggs' daughter.
I think that's
I'm
kind of your same
you
logic that you've just
well,
done.
Well, I'm pretty certain. It's kind of like a bluegrassy song. He's bluegrassy, if that's a thing. And a lot of people sung that song at Easter. Do you know that? I mean,
did
we didn't sing
that.
It at Shoreline.
No.
I wasn't at Shoreline on Easter. I was
yeah,
at
we
another
noticed
church.
We noticed.
But so maybe y'all did sing it
no
at Easter. But a lot of churches were singing that song.
Yeah.
And here's one thing I just want folks to know. It's a great song.
It is a great song.
But Bethel Music is not the first one to sing that song.
No, that is correct.
Johnny Cash sang it a few years ago.
That is correct.
It's been around for a while.
That was a public service announcement.
Yeah, I just think it's important that the young generation understand.
Yeah.
A lot of these songs have been around for a while.
Yeah. So, speaking of being right in front of you and kind of just missing it. I remember we went to New York City for Thanksgiving a couple years ago, and the goal was to go to the Macy's Day Parade. Pretty awesome deal. Went, we had talked about we wanted to see Snoopy, the big float. It was kind of our deal. All of our boys were still a little bit younger. And so, you know, Snoopy is one of the most historic floats at the Macy's Day Parade. And we finally, you know, see it. When we've done all this other stuff to kind of get the perfect spot. If you've ever been to the Macy's Day Parade, it is a hot mess. It's a cool deal, but it is a hot mess. Mm-hmm. And you're fighting against tens of hundreds of thousands of people. I mean, it is just pandemonium. And we finally see Snoopy, and I get, and it was kind of a bright, sunny day that day. And so I took a bunch of pictures, and then kind of went on with my way. And then we took the train back or the subway back to our place and got back. And I was looking through the pictures, and every picture I have of like every float is just of hundreds of other people taking pictures of mm-hmm. the float.
Yeah.
And it's pretty funny. You're yeah. like, here we are again. It's right here in front of us, and we're not paying attention to it. And I think sometimes we miss really good things mm-hmm. that are right up close to us. But I will also say, in the same way we're talking about this, I think there's at times things that are remarkably close to us that we're just missing, yeah. like this. I mean, wow, these things are right in front of us. I mean, we are subjecting ourselves to this type of standard, and we're somehow just missing that this could be hurtful to yeah. us. And so I would say we talked about it. What is a reset? I agree with you. Maybe a first assessment is, okay, like where are clear places that I can see that I've become desensitized? Mm-hmm. You know, I would also say it doesn't always need to just be a retraction of certain things. Like, hey, I'm just going to sure. get rid of X, Y, and Z. I have found that My kind of barometer, if we could use the spiritual term, discernment, mm-hmm. My discernment when it comes to this is helpful for me, this is not helpful for me, an internal alarm is ringing or it's not. That degree of discernment is elevated when I'm not just retracting things, but more when I'm adding things in. And that is the Word of God.
Yep.
It is a daily discipline of prayer. When I am in step, when I'm John 15, I'm abiding in him as he abides in me. When that is happening, I find myself making better decisions. And it's not just, you know, hey, I'm in step with Christ, so I'm less prone to be a jerk. You know, I'm in step with Christ, so I'm less prone to want to do something unethical in business.
Yeah.
It is also, it gives me a better degree of discernment. I'm more in tune with the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit prompts things in my life and offers certain warnings, they're not disregarded. One, they're not just not heard, but two, they're also not disregarded. And so it can't just be this, hey, I'm going to find some imaginary standard. Because we can't offer that to you. Now, I'm going to tell you, I'll shoot it out here. Like, I don't think that nudity is something that we need to be subjecting ourselves sure. to, because I just think it is so addictive. Yeah. We know psychologically, physiologically, there are things that fire in us that can lead towards addiction. I don't know how much someone is really addicted to bad language, you know. Now, can we say that violence and watching violence yeah. do things physiologically to our brain and to our mind?
Seems
like it. Probably so, yeah. you know. And so I'm going to think I can safely say, hey, a pretty healthy exposure to these things, a significant exposure to these things is probably unhealthy. But I can't tell you, well, this scene, that not this scene. So what you're going to have to do is rely upon the Holy Spirit. Yeah. And you're going to actually have to read the Word of God. And the Word of God gives us some pretty good instructions on this stuff as well. I mean, we need to, says, therefore prepare, in 1 Peter, therefore prepare your mind for action. Be self-controlled. Self-controlled. That's, and then it says, set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. You know, and so you get that. What is self-controlled? It's sober in mind. And so in the same way that sobriety is altered by things we physically put mm-hmm. into our body, sober in mind means we have to consider, are there things we're putting into our mind, our heart, that we're seeing, listening to, that are distorting distorting not only the way that we see things, but distorting what things may be.
Well, and two, what we have to, if we're spending time in the Word, spending time in prayer, if we're involved in a local church, when these things arise, when we're watching something, when we're listening something, when we're reading something, those things are going to go off in our mind and our heart of I love stand-up comedy.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yep.
And I used to could watch any and every stand-up comic.
Right.
Didn't bother me at all. Martin Lawrence, all of them, bad as
crass
can be.
And everything else. Yeah.
And now, as a grown man, a new special will come on Netflix, and I'll know the comedian. I'm like, I can't wait to listen to that. And I start watching, and I'm going, oh, mm-hmm. Ugh.
Yeah.
Even if I'm in the room and it's just me, everybody else is out. I'm like, I can't. Yeah, that makes me uncomfortable.
Yep.
And so, are there things in your life that, and also, are you allowing people to speak in your life?
Yep.
My wife, and if she hears this, she'll go, well, you don't listen to me often, but there's times where I'm watching something.
I don't listen to you.
Yeah.
Really
well, there's times I'm watching something and she'll come in and she'll say, why are you watching that? What do you get out of this?
Yeah.
Whether it be because of language or because of the violence.
Yep.
Or you'll find yourself, like my mother-in-law lives with me. So when, if she's in the room and something's on and there's something, some scene that comes up, I'm like,
super awkward.
Okay. Yeah. I need to forward it. And so there's moments where, well, why is it making me uncomfortable?
Correct.
Now, but it wouldn't make me uncomfortable if she wasn't there.
That is a great point. And I think so we've got, you know, we talk about it all the time. We talk about our children, but just last night we were, Carrie and I were hanging out. Carrie was doing some work, but the TV's on. And I don't even know what we were watching, honestly. I think I was mostly on my phone, but something's on. And our oldest son is still awake. And mm-hmm. he comes down and apparently a commercial comes on because I wasn't even paying attention. Carrie says, Aiden, you really need to go to bed. The later it gets, you know, more and more things kind of come on TV that aren't really appropriate. And that's a fine comment.
It's true.
But the question also would have to be, does that principle apply to me? You know, because so at what point would we say that these things are helpful for me?
Yeah.
And again, there we see in scripture, you know, many things are permissible, but not everything's helpful. Mm-hmm. Not everything's beneficial. And so we may have a certain degree of grace that, you know, all right, well, there's some freedom here. But that doesn't mean that it's helpful
for
us.
Paul says in Scripture, some of these liberties we have, we're going to have to put on the shelf.
Correct.
That's me paraphrasing.
Yeah.
Because we as Christians do have freedom. We have freedom to watch certain things. We have freedom to partake in certain things. But are those certain things making us stumble? Are those certain things making other people stumble? And at times, even though it may even not be sinful for you to partake in it.
Right.
It may be a liberty that you need to put on the shelf.
And I thought also about even my case of my son. I thought, what is that saying to him?
Yeah.
Like, so he's like, so it's okay for dad to?
But I can't.
But
yeah.
Yeah. So I'm confused. So men were allowed to watch these things, but I'm growing into manhood. So
when do I become that?
Yeah. So, okay, cool. So then I'll wait 5 or 6 years and then. I can be lax on the standards of that.
Yeah.
And again, I cannot tell you what is right and necessarily what is wrong, down to the episode, but we can tell you, you've got to seek the Lord on this stuff and you've got to really consider, is it helpful for you and is it helpful for your family?
Yeah. We'll talk more when we come back.
I can see the clouds rolling. I can feel the winds.
You know who, you know who wrote this song?
Uh-uh.
I think this is a lady, her name's Sarah Cash. I think it's Johnny Cash's daughter.
I was going to say this.
I'm just making that up.
I was going to say
just because you were blindly throwing
the singer,
around information.
I was going to say that was Ricky Skaggs' daughter singing that song. Actually, I did Google it. Molly Skaggs is the one that sang that song, and she is, in fact, Ricky Skaggs' daughter.
Well, I'm glad we could verify a little bit of what you said today.
It took me a little bit longer to find it on Google, so I was getting concerned, and I just completely made all that up. But, yeah, Molly Skaggs is Ricky Skaggs' daughter. Have you seen Ricky Skaggs lately?
I don't know if I have, no.
He has completely white hair.
Yeah.
And it's down to his shoulders.
Really?
He has a great head of hair for a grown older gentleman, but I don't know why he keeps it long like he does.
Yeah.
But it is white.
I'm going to say this.
It is white.
I'm going to go on the record. Hot take right here. If I could grow hair, I would grow it out.
Really?
I think so.
Like Chuck is growing his out.
Yeah, Chuck.
Have you noticed? Chuck's, I don't know if you've
Chuck's
noticed.
Chuck's hair is out there right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I my dad has hair down to his shoulders. My dad does.
Really?
Yeah, he does. It's kinda, some people call it a mullet. I've never looked at it as a mullet until somebody said, your dad has a mullet. And then I looked at my dad and I went, yeah, my dad kind of has a mullet. Yeah, he does.
Dad, how did we get here?
For my whole life, he's had that. And I never saw it as a mullet. And then it was pointed out to me. And then I was like, eh, it kind of is. His parents made him keep a very short haircut while he was in their house.
Yep.
So he turned 18. Graduated, moved out, and he's had long hair ever since.
Did you have a standard cut growing up? Like, I used to literally go and sit in the chair.
I had a bowl haircut for a long
time. And I was trained
time.
To say halfway over the ears
oh.
and a half an inch above the eyebrows or something like
wow.
that. Yeah, I kind of looked like Dumb and Dumber.
Yeah, I had a bowl haircut for a
strong
time.
Man, what would it take for us to get that thing back?
Not a lot. Not a lot.
So anything else to wrap up here as we wrap up this?
I would just say, you know, anytime ministry people, pastors talk about this, I think people immediately go, oh, here they go again, buzzkills.
Yeah,
you
exactly.
know, we can't have any fun. We just have to be fuddy-dud Christians that just go to church on Sunday and we don't get to enjoy the creative fruits of Hollywood and those type things. Look, I don't think we're saying that at all. We enjoy comedy. We enjoy movies and all those things. All I'm saying is pay attention when something inside of you says, oh, maybe I shouldn't be watching this, or I wouldn't watch this with my child, or I wouldn't watch this if my wife was present, or I wouldn't watch this if my mom or my pastor was present.
Right.
What are those things firing, and why are they firing
Correct.
Inside of us? Listen to them.
Correct.
And it's okay if you go, I'm not going to do that. That's
right.
not us looking at the world and saying, how dare you watch Game of Thrones?
Yep.
It's us going, look, it's not going to be beneficial for my life. It's not going to help me as a leader, as a man, as a husband, as a father, as a community member, as a Christian.
Yep.
Then maybe we
yep.
set that on the shelf, and that's okay.
Yeah, and I would just throw in this final thing before we wrap up. I think that there is going to be a certain degree that it is becoming increasingly hard to just completely shelter yourself from everything.
Yeah.
Unless you just flat out do not have television. I mean, we moved to YouTube TV.
Mm-hmm.
And have done that, and it at least minimizes some commercials, but there's still plenty
yeah.
of them. And you know, I know people watch Netflix and Amazon Prime and Hulu and all this stuff, but you're going to be exposed to things. If I could just really encourage you, especially if you're a parent in the room, don't just ignore them.
Right.
Address them. And so we will have this conversation. I mean, we, and again, it's not just TV. I mean, shoot, I chose a song through Apple Music
mm-hmm.
Yesterday. I had heard it on the radio. I did not realize that there was an explicit version of it. It had one word in it, and it came on in the truck, and Hayden looks at me, and he says, we're not supposed to say that. And I'm like, you're exactly right, bud. And we can just talk about it. Rather than just kind of acting like things didn't happen, let's talk about it. Let's talk about it from the lens of the gospel. Let's talk about what's edifying. And let's just try to move the needle forward towards redemptive things in our life, that which would edify us and edify others.
And how great would it be if the church was the one doing the influencing versus
Correct.
The world influencing the church?
Exactly. That's how it used to be. The church was the centerpiece of culture shaping.
Yep.
And now, unfortunately, the culture is shaping the church. We've got to fight against it. We'll
talk
be back.
To you next week.